talk so much about leadership. I mean, there's a lot of talk in the kingdom of God about leadership, and it's important for people to be leaders. But you know, Sunday did not happen just because of those that went out and knocked doors, or just because of those that drove buses, or not just because of those who barbecued chicken, or not just because of the security or whatever. But it's all of us. All of us have a part. And you say, well, I can't do some of those things. Hey, I'm glad you're here. You've joined the club. We're part of one another. Amen. There's something that all of us can do. We can all believe God. We can all pray. But tell me about the servant thing.
You got me stirred up today. Hallelujah. You know, God's really been dealing with me about leadership. And you know, I looked in the Bible, and leadership is hardly ever mentioned. You know, we talk a lot about leadership. Leaders, leadership. But you know what's mentioned in the Bible? Actually 17 and a half times more than leadership. Serving. Following. Servanthood. Fellowship. And God just started dealing with me about being a servant, because it's in following, it's in being a servant that leadership is developed. It's in following, it's being in fellowship, it's being a servant when your leadership is actually developed. You know, you go through the Bible, and I just started thinking about it, and God started ministering this to me. But who did the work? Who had the biggest miracles? Who were the people in the Bible that God used the most? Who did Abraham send to get his son a wife? His servant. Who had all the gold in that deal? His servant. He was trustworthy. Who had all the camels? Who had all the gold? Who had it all? His servant. Who got the double portion? The ones that were in the school of the prophets, and we believe in school around here. Who got the double portion? The servant, Elisha, the servant of the man of God. Who did God use to bring the gospel to the Gentiles? We always say Cornelius, Acts chapter 10. But you know who he sent to get Peter? His servant who ruled over all his house. It's the servants. It's the followers. It's those that are serving. And I heard somebody say, and then after God started dealing with me on all this, I heard somebody say on TV, I just walked by, and this minister was saying, you know, all this stuff about leadership. And listen, you know, I was talking to the Bible college this morning, and you know, above anointing, above talent, above anything at all, the first thing that I look in somebody's life is integrity, is who is their covering? Who are they submitted to? Do they tell the truth the first time, every time, whether it's convenient or not? It's not how anointed they are. An anointing can take you farther than your integrity can keep you. I said, your anointing can take you a long way, but if your integrity is not there, eventually something's going to happen. But ladies and gentlemen, I heard this guy, and I just walked by the TV, and he said, you know, the thing about the leader is sitting there, and he's thinking, oh, are they following? Are they following? He's always looking around, and he's always thinking about him leading. But it's the followers. It's the followers. It's the followers that get blessed. It's the servants that get blessed. Anyway, God's dealing with me about serving and following and the blessings that God bestows on those that follow with a pure heart, those that serve with a pure heart. I'm telling you what, the blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow to it for those that serve and follow with a pure and a clean heart. Let's give God praise. Amen.
Awesome. Awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're raising leaders by serving. Amen. Servants' hearts. Hallelujah. Serving servants is the advanced school for leadership. Servants who serve is the advanced school for leadership. And you know what that boils down to? Everybody in this room tonight who loves Jesus and has a servant heart. We're going to be surprised. And as a minister, I've said it for years. We're going to be surprised at the little quiet people that just did it and didn't say anything about it. We're going to be surprised when we get to heaven and see where rewards really come from and where they go. We're going to be surprised just to see how God divvies all this thing out. Because we can miss something, but you rest assured, God never misses anything. I was talking to Kathy, who, of course, has been here from Grenada for a few years, but you know, we met Kathy over in Grenada in the ministry there, and every time, I guess almost every time we were there, Kathy, you were on the staff there, and I mean, this girl, she did everything. She helped clean around there. She helped cook in the minister's home. I mean, when we were there, anything that was needed, she was there. She was up for morning prayer at 5 o'clock or 4:30, whatever it was, and you could hear the people praying out in the church just right behind the missionary's house where we would stay. And you know, but she was telling me, you see, when Grenada was infested and in bondage to the Cubans, Grenada, the island of Grenada, if you've never been there, it's so small, I didn't know anything about it when we first started going, so don't be surprised if you don't. But the island of Grenada there in the Caribbean would have been communist Cuba to this very day. And President Reagan, the president, sent a message out and begged, said, please come help us, that the communists are enslaving and they've taken over the island. And you know, I think it was in 3.5 days' time, President Reagan sent the U.S. forces in and they took that thing away from the Cubans. And then we were able to come in. Our missionaries were able to come in. And then Christian television came. And see, it's just one thing complements another. But if there's anything I could remember, Mike Magnuson, our missionary there, who is in heaven tonight, I've never seen a man with a servant's heart. I've never seen it any greater. I've seen a lot of service. We have a lot of servants in this church. He was just a quiet giant. The man was a quiet giant. He couldn't do enough for you, but he didn't talk about it. He just did it. I mean, I've seen him up on, you wouldn't believe how that missionary house was almost, had a roof like ours because it'd been there since plantation days. I've seen him up on the roof. I've seen him do every kind of crazy thing. I've seen him up on the high tower, the one tower on the island there. I've seen him do it all and just never bat and blink an eye and then go to church on Sunday. They'd put on a suit and a tie and whatever and go next door to the church. Praise God. You know what God's calling all of us to? I just want to be a servant, don't you? That's what we're all. Someone said, well, all I am is just a servant. That's all we all are. We're all servants. Amen. We're all servants. Here's the thing. Let's turn to Psalms 23, and I want to get right into it. Because here's the thing. Servants need to be ministered to. And so I want to share some insights with you this evening from Psalms 23. And the title that I've given it is, The Lord Is. The Lord Is. I said, The Lord Is. We're not serving. We're not serving a cult. We're not serving just a denomination. We're not serving some religious thing. But we're serving the Lord. And many, many places where they have the final rites and funeral homes, we call them, many of them still have Psalms 23. Some of them are weeding it out and going to some nebulous kind of New Age stuff. But Psalms 23 has been a mainstay. I mean, when they hand you the obituary, when they hand you the material, Psalms 23, or when they hand something to you at the door about the deceased, it almost almost invariably has something about Psalms 23. Some do, some don't, but many do. Psalms 23 said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." What a decision. What a faith decision. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You might say, "I've heard that 1,000 times. Well, now you've heard it 1,001 times. Praise God. And it's not just something common. It's not just something to be used in a memorial service, without significance. So as I looked at this yesterday, I was up in the presence of God. The first thing that I see here is the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. Church, listen to me. We have a lot of needs. We have a lot of desires. We have a lot of things in our life. But he said, the Lord is. Every sheep, sheep are helpless without a shepherd. I mean, that's just the way of nature. And sheep can do some strange things. And there's a massive picture on Pastor Bill Knott's study in Adelaide, Australia, of one sheep going down a hill toward the water and all the sheep following because they were playing follow the leader. But the problem of it is you get a sheep in the water and they'll drown. They're not an animal that needs to go to the water. It's like chickens don't go to water, ducks do. We have a little pond out behind our house. I've never seen a chicken out in the middle of that, in the middle of that water. Never seen a chicken. And come to think of it, I've never seen a turkey. I've seen egrets. I've seen ducks. I've seen water, you know, things that have webbed feet, whatever they are. I've seen them. But you see, you know why a bird is so successful? Because a bird is doing what God created that bird to do. You know where we get in trouble? When we're not doing what God created and called us to do. You know, watch a bird. Watch a bird. I mean, that's inspired aviation for years. I mean, just a big old blackbird, you know. Man, one, two of them got on our back porch and they were yelling and screaming and carrying on like they do. But you know, when they flew off so gracefully. And then they just glide in. And they just know a moment before touchdown. Watch a bird do what a bird does. And you're seeing something that God created doing what God created them to do. And you know what works best for all of us? Doing what God created you to do. I mean, even a sparrow, any kind of a bird, it's a miracle. No gasoline, no aviation fuel, no propeller, no jet. I mean, the bird, he just takes off, goes as far as his range is, and glides in, and there you go. Doing what God called you to do is the secret to success. Amen. Doing what God called you to do is the secret to success. When I was a little boy, thank God for a mother that raised us in church, warped our personality terribly, but we got over it, praise God. But I tell you, we'd see the evangelist. I'd get out in the backyard. I got an orange crate from Huddleston's Market, and I had a long string on it, and I had a tin can, punched a hole in it, and tied a knot in the end of it. That was my microphone. And I'd get out in the backyard on the picnic table, on the platform, and I'd preach the word. Time and time again, I'd preach the word, just a kid out there yelling and doing whatever, but just, it was already in my spirit. It was already in my spirit. I believe it was Brother Don Clowers that got his start by playing gospel programs out of the second floor of their home. And he'd put the radio in the window and crank it up as loud as it would go. And that was his way to evangelize and to begin to evangelize. Then later on, he had a tent that seated thousands and a PA system, and it was a whole different thing. You know, you just keep on witnessing. You watch what God's going to do for you. God blesses witnesses. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitude. The Lord is what? He is my shepherd. And number one, because he is my shepherd, hang on to it. Hold on to it. Get a grip on it. I shall not want. My God supplies all my need. May not have it now. May not even have it in sight. But I shall not want. Then the Bible goes on to say, he leads me. Twice it said, he leads me. Oh, how many times a day do I say, God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I've fallen in love with the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, in a brand new way. He leads me. He leads me. When the waters are rough, just get quiet and say, he leads me. Oh, when you're on the highest mountain, take a deep breath and say, he leads me. When you're in difficulties, say, he leads me. When you're in business deals, say, he leads me. Hallelujah. So I shall not want. He leads me. Thirdly, he restores my soul. I don't know about you, but restoring means more than before. You may say, I'm here tonight and I'm in a mess. You know, I couldn't tell you how many people have come into all three of our locations, a mess, but they gave their heart to Jesus. And I've talked to many people that have come through the house of Isaiah who have businesses of their own now. And they said, we used to come to your church on Wednesday night. We'd drive in, you know, whatever was available. And we came and we found Jesus. And now we're in business. There's half a dozen of them somewhere in the Dallas area that I've talked to over a period of time. Folks, nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible with God. Amen. You know, you can't buy everyone's need, that type of thing. Precious couple, they're here tonight, came up to me, and someone came in, and they were just really, I forget how the connection was made, but they were really bummed out because their electricity was going to be turned off the next day. Now, you know, you have to use God's wisdom. You know, I don't tell anybody to do anything. The only thing you ever do is you do what God tells you to do. But you know what? God impressed them to take care of that. And I don't know, it was a while back. You know, here's a person. They didn't say a word to anybody. They saw a need and they met it. And I'm going to tell you one thing. You help somebody else and God's going to help you. God's going to bless you. They got on to something. They caught on to something there. He restores my soul. He brings me back to the starting place. He refreshes me. Fourth, yea, I walk through. Glory to God. Whatever I'm going through, I don't go down. I don't drown. Hallelujah. I walk through. You going to walk through with me? Oh, I walk through. Just keep on walking. Just keep on walking. I walk through. Someone said, the doctor said I had cancer. Devil said, give up. I said, no, I'm coming through this. Amen, I'm coming through this. I walk through. I don't go down. I don't go under. I've made my faith decision. I'm going to walk through. I'm just going to walk through. I'm going to keep on walking. There's another side. I walk through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. On our trip, the bus doesn't get that close now, but I'll tell you, one of our buses never worried me because the bus belonged to the Arab bus driver, and I knew he wasn't about to put that bus over the hill. I knew they take care of their buses. So we had a Jewish tour guide, and we had an Arab bus driver and the family owned the buses. But he got pretty close to looking over that cliff down, you know, the road to, from Jericho to Jerusalem. And I mean, there were some people, I think, got right with God on that bus, man. I mean, they were scrambling to the other side of the bus when that bus got close to the edge. Ah! Yeah. But oh, you could look down and it was dark. You could see how the man fell among thieves. You could see how dangerous it was. It's almost like taking a road that you know before you get there, you're going to have some kind of a round with thieves. That doesn't make for a pleasant journey, does it? In fact, most of us wouldn't even start on that. But if you've got to get from Jerusalem to Jericho or Jericho to Jerusalem, that was the road that you had to take because it was the only way between those giant, well, giant, they were good-sized mountains. But you know what? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the You say, I'm, hallelujah. I want you to pray for him. Someone's telling me, in fact, I came in the room right after. Carmen says that he has cancer. I didn't hear anything about it, but he said the doctor said he has so long. I want us to pray for Carmen. Amen. The man sung all over the world and across the nation. Father, we pray for Carmen tonight. We pray for Carmen tonight. God, we lift him up. Lord, a man whose music and whose ability has been a blessing to so many. Father, we just say the big C, oh, hallelujah, is not bigger than Carmen. Oh, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, shout it out loud. Jesus is a cancer killer. Oh, say it out loud. Jesus is a cancer killer. He said the devil picked on the wrong Italian this time. Well, we're going to stand with him in faith. Amen? When you hear of someone else in need, pray for them. Lift them up to God. You know, even in a crowd like this tonight, I've learned this. You never take a service for granted. Only God knows what some of you have been through this week. Only God knows what some of you have been through today. That's a pastor's heart. Only God knows what you've come through the last 30 days. But the big thing is, you've come through thus far. Hallelujah. Oh, I walk through. I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. I used to have a little plaque that said, the devil knocked at the door. Faith answered, fear left. Oh, hallelujah. I will fear no evil. And then I go further that God is with me. Thy rod and thy staff. Oh, thank God. They comfort me. God is with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Folks, just shout it out loud. God is with me. I mean, if I go home and be with Jesus tonight, God's with me. Woo! God is with me. I said, God is with me. Then I went a little further in Psalms 23, and I just wrote it out like I felt God. It's very simple. God's Almighty anoints my mind. It was years ago, a man who was already going to be with Jesus. He was one of the ministers that was with Voice of Healing and Dr. Gordon Lindsay. We traveled with him. And I remember David Nunn used to say, the battle is in the mind. I didn't really understand all. You know, I was just starting in the ministry, and you know, you're so full of zeal, sometimes you just sail right past some very important things. But he said, the battle's in the mind. Satan will play with your thought life. He'll play the what-if game. He'll say, yeah, God said, but, you know. He'll play with your mind. He'll play with your emotions. He'll catch you on a down day and then give you a bad doctor's report. I mean, a day when your body may be weary, a day when you've had more than your share of whatever, and the enemy comes in like a flood. But oh, we've got to learn to cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God anoints my mind. Put your hand on your forehead right now. Just shout it out loud with me. God anoints my mind. Mind, I command you in the name of Jesus. Think the thoughts of God. Oh, think the word of God. Think thoughts of victory. Think thoughts, I'm coming through. Woo, hallelujah. Praise the Lord now. Oh, God, anoints my mind. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, there's two more I want to give you. Goodness and mercy going to follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. Goodness. You know, you look at the news. Be honest with you. News has been kind of rough lately. I mean, you know, newspaper coming in. And you just see the title. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of death and shooting activity and law enforcement and so on. And you know, I just didn't get all fired up about reading the newspaper. I just saw a headline and just put it on a shelf. And you know what I did? I went straight to the book. Hallelujah. And the book says, surely goodness and mercy. Surely, surely, without fail, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh, bad luck just follows me. Yeah, because that's what you say. What do you say? Goodness and mercy shall follow me. If anyone experiences goodness, if anyone experiences mercy, blessed are the merciful. They will obtain mercy. You better show mercy. You're going to need it one day if you haven't already. We need to show mercy. And you know, things that you don't understand, the things that just really tick you off, you ought to just commit it to God. Just stop letting everything upset you. I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I preach this in the mirror every once in a while. You've got to look in that mirror and say, surely, surely, not badness and bad luck or hard luck, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And do you realize where we're going? We start out on earth. I mean, this churches make a poor heaven when you consider what the final product's going to be. But we get started down here. But you know, David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've seen Joyce Daddy. He was a preacher of the word, J.C. Thompson. It just doesn't seem possible that just about a mile over here, and of course, everything's completely different there in the neighborhood. A lot of things have changed. But I can still see that man. He didn't really get anointed until that shoulder would go up. When that shoulder went up, you knew that there was you've seen that, Renee. When that shoulder went up, and he had big hands, and when he put that finger, and that shoulder went up, we're off to the races. We're off to the races. How many times I've heard him say, God is just as real to me as my right hand. He'd hold it out there. God is just as real to me as my right hand. And you know, you say, what happens to folks like that? Well, J.C. Thompson and Mona Thompson, Joy's parents, are eternally in the presence of God tonight. And you can go down here, you can go down here to the cemetery, and you can stay there until you'll become part of the sod. But it's not going to change it. They have changed residences. We drive by the little house where Joy and where Dwight and the two brothers, where they were all raised. But it's different now. But I'll tell you what, that just looks like a stick out house compared to heaven, where we're all going to spend eternity. Hallelujah. Where are the Thompsons tonight? They're in the presence of God eternally. Where is R.V. Nichols and where is Jewel Nichols and my aunt who taught in our Christian school? She retired 3 or 4 times. Third time she retired from country day school, came over to our Christian school, taught until she was 82 years of age, passed away at age 83. Anna Mae Melton. I mean, she was a school teacher. She knew science and biology. But oh, how many times she loved the work of God. What an encourager. What an encourager. My grandmother, Annie Maud Melton, we called her Mama. Where's my grandmother tonight? I only knew one grandparent. That was her. My other grandmother passed away, never knew a grandfather. They all passed away before I was old enough to even know the difference. But where's my grandmother that I, where is she tonight? She's eternally in the presence of God. Where's my aunt tonight, who was such a blessing, and what a blessing they were in the beginning days. Where are they? They were faithful. You know where they are now? They're eternally in the presence of God. Hallelujah. My father and mother are eternally in the presence of God. The only disappointment my mother had in her lifetime, she wanted to live until Jesus came back. And she told me that. She said, son, the only thing I could ask for my life. She taught in our Bible school. Oh, mother was a teacher. She was a blessing. But tonight, thank God, she's eternally in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Now, she could teach Bible prophecy where you could understand it. I was watching some folks teach the other night, and they almost got themselves confused. You know, when you see Bible prophecy, some say, well, I'm pre-trib. Hilton Sutton, you say, some said I'm pre-trib. Some say I'm post-trib. He said, I'm pan-trib. And they said, Hilton, what is pan-trib? He said, if you know Jesus, everything's going to pan out okay. I tell you, listen to a bunch of prophecy teachers, you'll get confused yourself. They've all got different ideas. But you know, that really has not been my mainstay. I don't criticize. It's valid. It's real. They have a right to their opinion. But you know, you can get so knee-deep in prophecy and when he is and when he ain't and when he might be, and you won't be going out knocking doors and driving buses and winning souls. Folks, what really matters, he's a coming back, and he will come back, and nothing's going to stop him. But we can hasten the day when the Lord Jesus will come back. None of us know everything there is to know. We'll know when we get to heaven. We'll know exactly what the timetables and the verses and everything. And I tell you, the more I listen to some folks, the more confused I could get. But you know what? When I get back on the track of being born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and believing for the power of the Holy Ghost to touch people's lives and homes and hearts and families, that's when I start kicking again. Woo! When I think of a church on fire going out into the highways and hedges and compelling them to come in, that gets my motor started. I want to burn the rubber. I want to spin the wheels. I want to go somewhere. I want to do something for God. That's what it's all about, folks. He's a coming back. He is coming back. But we're going to win our part of the harvest in the meantime. So don't get just all shook up either way about anything. Don't get all disturbed and hot and bothered and, you know, mixed up and whatever. I mean, just stay on the track of winning souls. And I've got to work. I like what Hilton said. He's with Jesus now. Lived to be 80, somebody, he said, I believe in panology. Everything's going to pan out all right. I will dwell in God's house forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Stand up with me if you would. Folks, it's time to celebrate. I will stand in the house of God. I'm going to be in the house of God forever. This is an earth house. I'm going to a city whose streets are paved with gold. I think sometimes we need to sing more songs about heaven. Charismatics have gotten so uppity, we don't sing anything about the coming of the Lord. We don't sing much about heaven. I don't mean that's not where you dwell. That's not where you stay all the time. But you know, we need to realize we're going somewhere. It's not all about cute lyrics and cute words and trying to out music somebody else. He's a coming back. And he's coming soon. And I'm with my mother. She thought Jesus would come in her lifetime. She really wanted that to happen, but she's happy. She's happy. I'm expecting Jesus to come back any day. I was driving down this freeway. I said, Lord, protect these people. If the trump of God sounds, I'm out of here. Woo, glory to God, glory to God. I go out to the cemetery. I watch where I do the final rites. I don't stand on anybody's headstone because I know if the trumpet of God would sound, the dead in Christ are going to rise. You talk about an elevator, honey. Woo, stay out of the way. But they're not going to precede us, and we're not going to precede them. Together, we're going up in the air to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever, ever, ever be with the Lord. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. Stay packed. Stay ready. Keep on witnessing. We're going somewhere. I'm going to a city whose streets are paved with gold. Oh, praise be unto God. Mother used to sing a song, Pearly White City, Pearly White City. I have a harp and a crown. Praise God. Well, I don't know what all we're going to have there. I think if we get any crowns, we'll give them back to Jesus, don't you? And you know, listen to me, because I mean, there's a lot of swing toward grace. You know, you say, what do you think about grace? None of us are going to make it without it. You got to confess every sin right on location. Do you realize that's all most of you do? That would occupy the majority of a lot of people's time. Folks, God's not only able to save us, He's able to keep us. And you need to be conscious of keeping your heart right with God. We just need to relax and enjoy the journey. We just need to relax and enjoy the journey. Amen? Hallelujah. Just don't get hung up on the small stuff. Don't get hung up on the controversial or the latest doctrine. It's not latest. It's just recycled. Let's win souls. Let's witness Jesus at every opportunity. Praise God. Someone said, I've got a headache. Could I pray for you? It's a good way to witness. Got a headache? Would you mind if I prayed for you? If they've got a bad enough headache, they'll be glad for you to pray for them. Oh, my child's on drugs. Let me pray for you. Oh, you don't understand. Our marriage is in trouble. Let me pray for you. Pray with people at their point of need. Pray with them right there at their point of need. Hallelujah. Witness, win, and bring them in. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder how many tonight just say, I want a new, I desire a fresh touch. You know, we have people that have just been working day and night. If that's the desire of your heart, just come up real quick. Just say, I just come forward for the touch of God. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, Dan, don't get too comfortable because you need to be busy here. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on up here. Stand up. But yeah. Just get ready. Troy, get back in there. I thought I heard him a while ago. He came back. He's talking to kids somewhere. Hallelujah. Folks, we need God. We have Him, but we need Him as we've never needed Him before. We can't just go in our own strength. We can't just go in our own religious mentality. I feel my need of God more tonight than I have ever felt my need of God. World's on fire. Things are crazy. Things are crazy. Hallelujah. Tell you what I want to do. Praise be unto God. Dan, I want you and Ashley right here. And Charlie, I want you and Lori right here. Yeah, right here. Praise God. We need Lori. I'm sorry, she'd have to have a resurrection. She's in Georgia. Praise God. A translation, not a resurrection. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want us just to lift our hearts and begin to praise God. Are you hungry for a move of God tonight? Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Hallelujah. Where'd Pam go? Where'd Pam go? Come on up here, Pam. Come on. Come on up here, Tony. Where are you? You're back there somewhere. You and Miriam, come on up here. Come on, unless you have a child with you. I want us to get ready because they're going to move this one way and move another way. They're just going to move. I want you to just say, I'm hungry for God tonight. I'm hungry for God. God is at work in our church. God is at work in our church. Hallelujah. We're going to do this. Let's get two on this side. Charlie, I'm sorry, you're going to have to work with that Lori tonight. Just start right down here. Amen. Pam, maybe you can start midway. Tony and Miriam, yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. How you tell me how to do it, Brother Charlie. When hands are laid on you, just receive the touch of the shepherd. The touch of the shepherd. Oh, Lord, move mightily. I'm hungry for a move of God.